His first words apparently were "weddable." But he doesn't stay like that. I mean, he doesn't look like that now. And he, we're old. And he has grown. He has got married. He's celebrated a 30th. He's had children. We have two of them. And probably as you know him now, he's an exec head. And he preaches and MCs as he did today. And he goes on outreach. He's grown. And part of that growing has just happened. But he's a lawyer by profession, and I can assure you he didn't just sit holding that ball and whoa, he became a lawyer, just like that. He had to be involved. God has given him amazing gifts, and he has taken up those gifts and used them. And that's our thought that we're going to pursue today. Now, firstly, I might just say, but why should I grow? Well, you know, just as a Christian, spiritually, why shouldn't I grow? I'm born again. I'm okay. Why should I bother about growing? Well, first and foremost, God said, be holy as I am holy. Be holy. That's something that requires persistent growth. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. When we please God, when we do the things the way he wants us to do them, when we do life his way, it pleases him. It gives him joy. It's a wonderful way of loving him. And when we are kind to our neighbor, and sometimes that really requires growth, doesn't it? It's not nice to be kind. Who's my neighbor? The person that you think of now or not them. They're your neighbor. And we need to love them. And in order to do that, we've got to grow. We do need to grow. And the last one I just thought of is it's to limit falling, to limit sin. Who's ridden a two-wheel bicycle? Can you ride a two-wheel bicycle? Do you remember the first time you rode? Probably your father or your brother or someone was rushing along next to you, holding on and saying, pedal, pedal, pedal. And if they let go and you stop pedaling, what happened? You fall. Crash. In order to stop falling, in order to stop falling into sin, to keep moving forward, to grow. Peter, I think he, of the Bible, the disciple of Jesus, he was a wonderful example of someone who fell but got up and went going again and did amazing exploits. In Luke 22, they're at the Last Supper, and Jesus says this to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will crow this day, will not crow this day, until you deny three times that you know. And we know he did that. Yeah. Who walked and talked with Jesus for all those years, he denied. He wept bitterly. But we know what happened after he fell. He fell down, he got up, and he strengthened his brothers. This morning, and this is just, I was reading how Peter spoke to Cornelius. And it says that when he stopped, as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell. Holy Spirit really seems to be wanting to be active today, doesn't he? So just as a little prompt, here's your heart right now. Are you attentive? Stop thinking about whatever it is that's not, shouldn't be thinking about now. Set it aside. Focus on Jesus. He wants to say to you about growing today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We want more of you. You called us to be holy like you are holy. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll convict me. you'll convict every person here, every person who listens to this recording. Convict us. We give you access, Holy Father. Come and change me. Come and change me, Jesus. So I'm going to read from Peter, this great dude. And he wrote two letters. And I'm reading from the second letter of Peter, and I'm reading from chapter 3. The key verses, if you want to go back and ponder them, please do, is from 14 to 18. But I want to read a little bit before that to give us context. So I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through to 18. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of God as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Hectic words, hey? It starts off the chapter where he says, oh, you think it's not going to happen because it's been so long. Well, it's a heck of a lot longer since he wrote that. He's coming. He's coming. And this is his exhortation to us to grow in grace. So when you are born, when Terry was born, what happened? He started growing. He didn't stay the way he was when he was a cute baby. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, just to put context to who is he writing to? Is he writing to non-Christians? No. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God. To those who have obtained a faith. He's talking to Christians. There are many moral people in the world. Good people. And I'm sure we know lots of them. Lots and lots. Peter's not telling us to be good. He's telling us to grow in grace. There's a big difference to being good and growing in grace. When I'm good, I'm doing it maybe to please God. If I do this and if I do this, I'm trying to please him, or I'm trying to please others. Or maybe I'm trying to make myself feel better about myself because I need to be loved more, or I need to be accepted, and so I try and be good. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be born again. But to understand grace, I just need to just explore grace, because I think there's so much misconception about grace. I think a lot of us know that the definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. His absolute incredible love demonstrated by Jesus dying on the cross. But in the Bible, there's two types of grace. Same word, but two applications, if you like, of grace. In one, grace increases, and in the other, it does not increase. So where does it does not increase? When Jesus came, He died, he was buried, he rose again. Why? Because he came and took the penalty of my sin and your sin. He paid that penalty. And when I choose to lay down my life, to say, I am a sinner and there's nothing I can do to be good, no matter how hard I try, I need the blood of Jesus to cover my sin. What happens? I am redeemed. I am pardoned forever. I am given God's righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. And that's the legal status I have. And then I'm adopted into his family and I become a daughter or a son of the living God. That grace cannot increase. You're either pardoned or you're not pardoned. There's no gray area. You're either born again or you're not. It cannot increase. You either are adopted or you're not adopted. It cannot change. There's no in between here, guys. That is grace that does not change. It's abundant. It means salvation. It's what I need in life, what every single one of us needs. But then Peter says, grow in grace. I can't grow more in my salvation, but I can grow more in who I am. I can grow in my being, in my inner core. And I can grow and become more like how he sees me. That's the growing in grace. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us then with confidence, because we are sons and daughters of the living God, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We draw near because we're his. We draw near because of the sweetness of his grace, that I want to grow in that grace. It attracts me. I want more of him. Some think, well, I'm covered by grace, so I can sin. Ugh, just a little sin, doesn't really matter. Jesus' grace covers me. I'm okay. Dangerous, dangerous place. And Peter addresses it here. Did you notice that? In verse 16 and 17, he says, talking about Paul, which the ignorant and unstable twist the words of the Bible to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Grace is not an excuse for licentiousness. I am not under grace so that I can sin. I am not under grace so that I can sin. I am under grace so that the possibility of godliness in me is much more than I can imagine. Much more than I can imagine. So I'm going to trust in his grace so that I can move slowly and slowly and grow more and more to be without spot or blemish. Amen. You have to be born again. So let's look at the nature of this growing. The nature of it. Well, firstly, it's all or nothing. Many people come to Jesus on their own terms. Often we come because there's a crisis. Financial crisis, emotional crisis, relationship crisis. Jesus, I need you. I need you in this area of my life. But don't expect me to change that. That's me. I'm not going to change that. You can't have that part of me. And we might do that sort of consciously or subconsciously. We're holding back on something. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Why do we hold back? Why do we think, well, I just can't give all of me? I think sometimes we think the sacrifice is going to be too big. We're not prepared to give everything up. And we need to examine ourselves. What am I holding back from Jesus? What's my little private turf that I'm not going to change that. It's okay. That part of my life is too precious. It's me. I'm not going to give it up. It's who I am. It's all or nothing. And another way we do it is we settle for too little. That's just the way I am. I'm not a huggy person. I'm independent. And often it's a strength. And it's just who I am. He wants all or nothing. And here's the power of his grace, the sweetness of his grace, is able to change that in me as I yield it to him. I just said, if any of that spoke to you and you thought, I'm holding that back or whatever, or he'll never change that in me. Keep looking. Keep searching. Keep asking. He is greater. He is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't rest until you find that place with him. So he wants all of nothing. And then just, I've said it, I think, already, but to remind us, it is possible. It is possible to grow. I've been a Christian longer than many of you have been alive. But I need to grow more. Oh my gosh, how much more I need to grow. Ephesians, Paul writes in a similar way, Ephesians 4 verse 1, and then I'm looking at verse 13. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Until, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's impossible. How can I measure up to Jesus? Sinless. Perfect. It is possible. Why? Because if I've been born again, I have a new nature, a brand new me on the inside. What do? Then I nurture that nature. I feed that nature. I choose to say no to ungodliness. I choose to say yes to the things of God. I nurture that nature. And as you nurture that nature, it's like a magnifying glass. The closer you get, the bigger the flaws. The closer you get, the bigger the flaws. It's good because he's a big God and he can deal with my stuff. So it's possible. It's all or nothing. And it's from the inside out. Nurturing that new nature. It's internal. It's not, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this, and I'm going to go to church every Sunday, and I'm going to read my Bible. Guess what happens a week later? I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I can't do this. I need a rest. Nurture the new nature inside. God, change. Help me to see what you want me to be. When we do it from the outside, you know what happens? I'm such a good Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I pray and I read my Bible. You want to be like me. We become arrogant. We become self-centered. We become all about me, 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 me. Grow from the inside out. And then this one. Aish, guys, it's gradual. As we mature, when you're a child, when does a child, they want their food and they want it now. feed me, feed me, feed me. I got two little toddler grandchildren, and they want it now. Now you said, yeah, but not now. We're in the car and we're driving. They want it now. But as we mature, we still sometimes want it now. But we need to be patient. Growth is gradual. But we just want, shush, 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 God sorted me out. Phew, here I am, spotless without blemish. Doesn't happen like that. Doesn't. Sometimes he uses trials. Oh, no. Years of trials. Why? Because it's a gradual process. He knows us, and he knows how to grow us from the inside out so we become all that he's called us to be. It's gradual. If you, I mean, these days you've got modern photography and they just go, you know, you can watch a plant and it just goes and you watch the whole incredible process of germination. Trust me, you sit in your garden and you watch that plant very carefully. You're not going to see anything. And I think sometimes we look at ourselves and say, but I'm not growing. Look back. Journal. Look back to where you were. Ask people around you. You will be growing. Trust him. And then I've said this as well already, but just wanting to emphasize this. It pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. Verse 18, Peter says in our text, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why does he say, but grow? What does that mean? I can choose. That's a hectic thing, hey? I can choose to accept Jesus as Lord, as my Savior, and I can accept to grow. I can choose to grow. He wants us to grow. He offers everything we need to grow, but we have to play our part. We have to do what he's called us to be. Why? Is he a hard taskmaster? Does he just want, come on, Lainey, I want you pure and spotless, and I'm not going to accept anything else. Come on, get a life. Start growing, for goodness sake, woman. No, he's not like that. Others might be, but he's not like that. Why does he want us to grow? Because he loves us. Because he knows that as we grow, we will find all the things we need for life, the peace, the joy, the contentment, when we become what he knows we can be. But we think we know it better. Nah, we can, this is a better way, it's an easier way, or whatever it is. It's a more pleasant way, the sin. Sin's often really lekker. But we have to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. Jesus has paid such a high cost for me. Can you think of anyone who would do what Jesus did for you personally? What's the only way we can respond? Help me, Jesus, to grow, to do what you want me to do. Help us, Jesus. How do we grow? How do we grow? The big question. We've said it's slow. We've said it's not easy. That starting, well, the key verse, I think, 14 and 18, but 14 says, therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these, remember, for the end of the world, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. I love the way that he adds in there, and at peace, because that's the peaceful place. What's stopping you from growing? Please look at yourself. Is it a stubborn heart? Is it a sense of pride? Well, I am so wonderful anyway. Are you just being disobedient? Not just, I shouldn't say just. Are you being disobedient? Has he told you things to change? Nah, I'm not going to change that one. Maybe you think, oh, it's just too hard. I'm so over this. I'm so over this trial. Why has he not answered my prayers? It's just too hard. I'm just going to be what I want to be today. I'm not being a Christian. Perhaps we've not asked him. As I've been preparing this, I've been asking him, Lord, grow me. When did you last ask him to grow you? When we stop growing, some go backwards, some stay stationary, and 99% of the time, we fall. We fall. The only way to not fall is to keep moving forward, to grow. Very practically, I read that verse earlier, Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus, we need you to grow. Notice what it says, draw near. Draw near to him. Seek fellowship with him. Get to know him. Get to know his voice. The Holy Spirit saying, yes, Lainey, this is it. No, Lainey. He doesn't say, how many times have I told you? He just says, no, Lainey. So kindly and lovingly. How do we get to know him? We said this so many times in this pulpit, many other pulpits. Read the word. Worship. Pray. We know that. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? As we get to hear his voice, as we get to know his voice, we hear it more and we get to understand what pleases him. That's my girl. Keep going. That's the way. That's so much better. He is so, so loving. So draw near to him. When we sin, guys, not if we sin. When we sin, repent immediately. Stop what you're doing. I'm sorry, Lord. Accept his forgiveness. Stop dwelling in that sin and move on. Be quick to say sorry. Quick. Learn to love everyone, everywhere. Yeah, as I said earlier, think of that person. Yeah, you've got to be serious, God. Everyone, everywhere. And the one you're thinking of is the one you need to go and love on. Or ones, maybe. Gathering, our message, our value from last week, is a great place. Isn't that also nice sometimes, eh? You're so different to me. Why can't you be more like me? But I can learn, choose to love you. I'm not saying that disrespectfully, guy. We're all different. I'm a silly old woman with white hair. Seriously, gotta love her? Jesus says so. That youngster, full of nonsense. Love them. That person who always says the same thing all the time. Love them. And we love them because they're a child of God. We love them because God's placed us in this community to love. And as we learn to love here, what happens? We can take it out there and love on our neighbor. Love on them. They get bowled over by the kindness, the compassion, the gentleness of Jesus because of the way you are treating them, the way that I am treating them. And finally, remain humble. Big one. Remain humble. Soon as you think you have become a pretty good Christian, remain humble. be prepared to lose all your status, to give up your wants, to give up your needs, that he might be glorified. It's easy to say that. Very hard to live. Very hard to live. So Church Hope City, one of our values is to grow. If you are not born again, if you're tampering on the edges, please keep pursuing him. He's pursuing you. I guarantee it. He's loving on you. If you're not sure, am I born again? Please speak to someone. What does it mean to be born again? Because you can't grow. You can try being good, but you can't grow if you're not born again. Not in the way that Jesus wants us to grow. And now I will ask each one of us, I ask myself, are you growing? Are you resisting him in some area of your life? Too difficult, too hard, whatever it might be.